Okay. What I want to now do is just talk a little bit about how physicists have tried to make sense of this and what that means for the nature of reality. There's no one standard interpretation that everybody buys into, but there is one that's pretty standard that most people buy into. At least when I was studying physics, this was the norm. This is what undergraduates were taught. I'm told that in the last 10 years, it's sort of lost a bit of favour, but it's still pretty much the one that everybody believes. And it's called the Copenhagen interpretation. And it's piloted, well, its main exponent was a man called Niels Bohr. And Bohr seems to have been one of the few physicists, along with Einstein, who was capable of, in a way, thinking outside of the box of mathematical equations and asking about, philosophical questions about what this meant about the nature of matter. And what Bohr said was that there's no underlying real electron passing through the holes at all. There never was any electron really passing through the holes at all. Yeah. There was no underlying real objective thing out there called an electron. Instead, what there is potential electrons, probable electrons, likely electrons, and that the whole world, in a way, of electrons just exists as this ghostly world of potentialities and probabilities and likelihoods. And what happens is that when you look for an electron, when you actually try and measure it and look, well, one of those likelihoods, potentialities and probabilities becomes actual. So the electron manifests because you look at it. Before you looked at it, you couldn't say it was there. It was only probably there. Yeah? It was only potentially there. So what he said was happening is that when you don't look, well, the electron's got a probability of going through the top hole and a probability of going through the bottom hole, and both of those probabilities are equally probable, and they both interfere with each other. And it's those probabilities that cause the wave pattern. When it hits this screen, suddenly you've measured it and the electron becomes real. The particle actually becomes real. Here, in this experiment where we tried to look, well, as soon as we looked, it became real. So he's saying that reality only manifests when you look at it. Material objects, material reality, only manifests when you look at it. When you're not looking, it's not really there. It's there in potential. It's not a likelihood. But it's not a likelihood not to be there as well. It's not a likelihood to be somewhere else. Or not at all. Yeah. So then you had to ask, well, why? What is it about looking that creates reality? And the sort of standard answer is that it's consciousness. That something to do with observing creates reality. And observing is something to do with consciousness. Or at least that's one standard answer. Most physicists don't bother probing that far. They'll just get on with turning the handles of the equations and it works. The maths works. But certainly this interpretation, which has been held as the standard interpretation for coming on to 100 years, it's 80 years probably, says that there's no objective reality out there. There's no objective reality out there. And that is what the standard interpretation of physics is. Yeah? So you extrapolate from this experiment and you say there's no objective reality out there. An analogy that I came across, which I thought was useful, although not completely accurate, is looking at a rainbow. When you see a rainbow, actually what you're seeing is something that's created by the mind. There's no actual rainbow out there. It's light refracted through water droplets in the air, and it causes this sort of sense of illusion of a rainbow. And when you look at a rainbow, when I look at a rainbow, even if we're looking at the so-called same rainbow, actually it's not the same. We're seeing different reflected, refracted images. And it's our mind that creates this illusion of a shape. Do you see what I mean? And Einstein hated this idea. Einstein hated the fact that quantum physics says that there was no objective reality. He couldn't reconcile himself to that. The other thing he hated was this notion that all that there is potentials and probabilities. There's a 50% chance that the electron's here, 50% there, etc., etc. And he famously said, God does not play dice with the universe. God does not play dice with the universe. And Bohr famously retorted, stop telling God what to do. Which is very good. Which is very good. So another physicist, a famous genius, really, Schrödinger, who you may have heard of, he was responsible for one of the mathematical formulations of all of this that worked. He was appalled by this notion as well, that there was no objective reality out there, that there was just potentials. He was appalled by it. And he tried to dream up an experiment which showed how absurd such an argument was. Actually, I just wanted to mention that Schrödinger was a genius and a womanizer, a famous womanizer. And it's said that, well, while Heisenberg, another genius, used to gain his inspiration through walking in the mountains, and Paul Dirac, used to gain his inspiration through a sort of very quiet monastic setting at Cambridge University, Schrödinger got his inspiration from, well, less refined means. I always find that sort of optimistic in a way. Still. So Schrödinger dreamt up this experiment of putting a cat in a box. It's a thought experiment. Nobody's actually done this experiment. You put a cat in a box. You seal the box. So there's no looking. Yeah? No looking. And inside the box, you set up a little experiment with electrons a bit like this. And you cleverly set it up so that if the electron goes through the top hole, it bumps into some clever, macabre device that releases poison gas, cyanide, and kills the cat. If it goes through the bottom hole, it bumps into a more benign device which releases some cat food. Okay? So it's got a 50% chance of going to the top hole, 50% chance of going to the bottom hole, and the Copenhagen interpretation says that until you look, both of those probabilities sort of exist. Neither one is actual, but both are equivalently there. And so therefore, according to the Copenhagen interpretation, the cat has to exist in a sort of both alive and dead state at once. And until you look, it's not allowed to either live or die. It exists in this superposition, in this Doctor Who state of being both alive and dead at once. Yeah? And he said, how absurd to imagine in this dark box a cat that is both alive and dead at the same time. Until you look, you open the box, and of course you find it's either completely dead or completely alive. So he invented this thought experiment as a way of showing that the Copenhagen interpretation was nonsense, was completely flawed. But around, 80 years have passed, and nobody's been able to come to the bottom of that Schrödinger's cat paradox. It's entered into the textbooks as a real paradox, something of a mystery. It's not been enough to show that the Copenhagen interpretation doesn't work. The Copenhagen interpretation stands still as the most popular accepted interpretation. Yeah. That's Schrödinger's cat. I will come back to some other interpretations very, very briefly, but not yet.